Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast initiating startup sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. I would like to welcome you, and especially you, to this episode of Infotainment. Let's say hello to the year 2021. On this episode, I continue my conversation with Lisa, another person who lives here in my apartment complex, as she discusses her paranormal experiences. Well, there's another show on the Travel Channel called The Dead Files. I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but
No, I haven't.
There's two people. One of them, she's a psychic medium who can see and speak to and listen and hear ghosts, spirits or whatever. And the other is a homicide detective. They never talk during an investigation of a place. And the people call him for help because there's been a lot of ghostly activity in their place. And the lady, she walks through the house and checks it for ghosts, and she says, "Oh, this is bad. This is bad. It's got this crabby old lady in this corner, and she likes this corner. And oh, there's this thing here." And the guy looks up the history of the house and all the bad things that have happened in the house and over the years. If anybody's died in the house, or there's been like a fire nearby or something like that, and a lot of people have died, because spirits will move around even though they might be a block or so away. And
yeah, I've heard that.
And I watch Ghost Adventures too, which is probably the most watched one on the Travel Channel, which is
I have seen that one.
They make it pretty entertaining.
They do.
They got a camera that in a certain light spectrum, they can see weird orbs of light, you know, going in. And just before or just after some paranormal event where they capture them speaking into their digital recorders or their spirit box or an ovulus.
Right. Yeah. And I can't remember what it's called now.
They also got this SLS camera. I think it's structured light sensitivity, where it can map out figures, and it shows a little like stick figure with little and it can tell you where they are. And oftentimes they feel like it gets real cold or something. They put your hands right here. It's real cold right here and stuff. And
yeah.
And they'll have some spirit or whatever come through a spirit box.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there are people and things that do not leave the earth because they don't want to, or they don't know how to move on, or they're being...
Yeah, I do too.
Or they're being... Some of them get trapped by other spirits to stay... They don't mean
you got good ones and you got mean ones.
What's that?
You have good ones and you have mean ones.
Yeah, it seems like more of the mean ones don't want to move on. I think they're kind of afraid of where they might go.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what keeps them trapped.
That psychic medium on the Dead Files, her name is Amy Allen. She's a physical medium, and she says sometimes she'll take one of the spirits or whatever, take them with her, and she'll move them on. I don't know exactly what that all entails and how she moves on a spirit, but...
I don't know, but I've actually had a conversation where I was the medium. Yeah. And yes, true story, living in Topeka, Kansas, and a neighbor's husband had just passed away, and her and I went out to dinner one night, and the night before his funeral, he came to me in a dream and told me to tell his wife that he was fine. So I told her that, and that he was okay and things were better where he was and whatnot. And so we end up going out to dinner night, and she asked me if I had heard from him anymore. And all of a sudden, I just start talking. And it's like he's sitting here telling me, so I call her this name, and it happens to be something I didn't know about with them. They had pet names for each other.
Okay.
And so, because at first she didn't believe me, and so I was like, I don't know you guys this well, like what you guys called each other in private. You live next door to me, but I have no idea where this information is coming from.
Spooky.
No. So, the two of them basically had a conversation through me, and I'm answering stuff that I have no clue what's going on.
Ooh.
And she understands everything, and the look on her face was, she just kept smiling and got brighter and happier, and it was kind of freaky, but it hasn't happened since then. But I'm actually glad that I was able to give her some comfort and peace, because she was really kind of down about losing her husband. And being able to kind of discuss stuff with him one last time, kind of neat. Wow. So, it was actually an experience.
That's something I didn't know about you, for sure.
Well, now you know. And another thing you may not know is that for some reason, I usually end up being the last person somebody talks to or touches or they see before they pass. It happened when I was 2. My great-grandmother just went and put me down in my crib from my nap, walked over to the rocking chair, sat down, and my grandmother was in the kitchen making my birthday cake, and she heard what they call the death rattle.
Mm-hmm.
And my great-grandmother passed away in the chair.
Ooh.
Then I had a phone conversation with my grandfather on my mom's side and was talking to him, and that was the last conversation I had with him. And I found out later that was the last conversation he had with anybody.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also had one with my other grandfather on my dad's side. And with him, I went in earlier that day. My grandmother and her sister were sitting in his room at this nursing home. And my grandmother sits there and says, I just wish that he would die.
Ooh.
And I'm sitting there looking at her like, how can you say that? He's still alive in his bed. You're in the same room.
Oh,
at the time, I was going to school to be a CNA.
Oh, man.
And a certified nursing assistant.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can't believe you just said that, you know? And after her and her sister left, I talked to my grandfather, and I had lost my uncle, his son, back in 87 from AIDS. And I told him, go be with Uncle Ricky and stuff. I go, it's okay, you can go. You don't need to hold on any longer. and stuff, and I left the nursing home, and by the time I got home 20 minutes later, I had a voicemail on my answering machine telling me that my father passed away not long after I left.
Wow. That's
and
bizarre.
Just recently, I lost a friend, and I happened to be the last one he talked to and saw before he passed. Yeah, that happened to live here in our complex.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about there. Yeah, he was a real nice guy.
Very nice guy. Thank the world of that man.
Yeah.
Nothing to death, though, I tell you.
So that lady that you were speaking with when you had that conversation, you were acting as a go-between. So you mentioned more than her pet name. I'm taking it that told her that she knew it was her husband.
Yes.
So he was. Yes. So he was telling you a lot more that you wouldn't have known.
Yeah, he was telling me things that I would not know, that only he and her would know.
Oh,
specific
okay.
things. I mean, things that nobody else would know other than he and her.
Wow.
And, yeah. And I'm, like, kind of sitting there and I'm talking to him and I'm kind of asking him, are you sure you want me to say that? And he's sitting there telling me, yeah, tell her. I'm like, okay. So I'm kind of having this talk inside my head with him and with my voice to her, telling her what he wants me to tell her.
Okay.
It went on for probably a good 4 minutes to an hour that the three of us talked. Via him.
So you just heard him as a voice. You didn't, like, mentally see anything.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't talk like him. I talked in my own voice.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Questions and stuff. And it was basically they were basically having a conversation through me. She would ask a question about him, and he'd answer it. And that's how it came up on the pet thing, because she asked me, well, what was his pet name that I always called him? And immediately I'm like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden he's telling me in my head, this is what it was. And I'm like, are you sure you need to say that out loud? And he's all like, yeah, she'll know what it means. I'm like, okay. So I say it. And the look on her face was like her mouth just dropped open.
Wow. That would have been real comforting for her to know that she had a conversation.
It was. And when we were at the funeral that day, there were other people that she had told about how he had come to me in a dream. And so pretty much all of her family members and stuff and everything were all coming over and thanking me for telling her and letting us know that he was okay and he didn't feel anything. And so it was kind of nice to be able to comfort somebody that just lost a loved one and was burying them that day. And he happened to be a veteran, by the way. And I remember going out to the cemetery and stuff, and I remember, after the service, I was kind of standing there by myself, and came to me in my head again, and he's all like, that was kind of nice. I really appreciated that. And I'm like, you're welcome.
Wow.
Of course, all in my head, but he was able to converse with me, and I conversed back, and it was at first freaky. After that, it was just kind of like, okay, I can do this. No problem. But I haven't done it since then, but it was kind of neat. I wouldn't mind doing it for somebody else if it ever happens to come up, but...
Yeah, I wish you'd do it with my parents. I have dreamt about my dad and mom On occasion, yeah, but I don't know that it's anything they would have induced. It all from my own memory, but I think I don't know how they would.
Well, I guess I got another story for you.
Okay. Well,
as you know, I've had open heart surgery.
Yes.
And I ended up on a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the doctors didn't think that I was going to make it. And I was on this vent, and my mom and her, my stepdad had come to see me and stuff. And I remember I could always hear my mom on the right side of me, and she'd always be running her hand through my hair and holding my hand all the time. And then I could hear in the background, I hear football games and old 50s and 40s music, Elvis singing and stuff. And I come off of the ventilator, and I happen to ask my mom, like, were you always on the right side of me, and were you always holding my hand and putting your fingers through my hair the whole time? She's like, took her hand away from mine at the moment, and she's all like, how'd you know that? And I'm like, I could feel it and hear you. And I was like, and Dad, he was going and watching football because I could hear the darn game and stuff. And I go, there was Elvis music. And he was all like, yeah, he was watching some old movies. So if anybody's around a ventilator, please know that whoever it is that's on the bench, even though they are not awake, they are able to hear you. They can feel you. They can not necessarily see you, but can know what's going on.
Wow.
And another time, on the first time I had my surgery.
Well, did you ever get the sense you were floating above your body?
No, but I had my dead grandma and my dead father come to me while I was on a ventilator, though.
Oh, wow.
I went and my dad had passed away 6 months before I had my first open heart surgery, and I was on a ventilator, and all of a sudden I saw this big bright light, and I saw my dad and my grandma from about, the chest high all the way up to their heads and everything. And I asked them, is it my time to go? And both of them immediately said, no. And I was like, okay. And then I said, I love you guys. And they said, love you back. And they disappeared again.
Yeah.
And,
I've read some stories where a lot of people that have had near-death experiences say they see a bright light, and I've had.
And the doctors didn't think I was going to make it then either.
Oh,
so,
man.
I don't know at what point. I was on the ventilator that time for 10 days, and I don't know at what point that happened, because I was unaware of time and place and stuff, but it was kind of neat and comforting in a way, because they knew it wasn't my time to go yet, so I started fighting. I had a daughter to go home to and take care of and everything, so I was only 36.
I've read some other near-death experiences where they say that they're in this most peaceful, field with, a wild, peaceful, serene area of open space out in the middle, I don't know, is a fascinating topic to me. Now, when you were this medium for this gentleman to his wife, did she ever ask him where he was?
No, she didn't.
Where or what he saw? What he saw or anything?
No, I didn't see anything, but he said that he was in a happy place, and he was okay, and he wasn't in pain, and he didn't even really, feel when he died, but it was peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently what happened is that he had back surgery done, and when they flipped him, onto his back to where he was face up again is when he passed. And there was some kind of freak accident that sometimes happens when they flip patients from one position to another position right after surgery. The surgery went fine.
Yeah.
But the movement of moving them can sometimes cause them to pass away suddenly.
I'd never heard that about, I suppose you'd have to be flipped back over, and maybe they should give it more time before they flip somebody back over. I don't know,
but apparently when it's your time to go, it's your time. So I don't think there's really much you can do about it, but I don't think I'd want to know when I was going to go.
No,
I go peacefully, but...
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, hope for the best as far as going away peacefully.
Yeah, because I watch too much of Investigation Discovery Channel, and there's too many times where I've seen people that are being burnt alive or buried alive, and I can't imagine going through that kind of pain and trauma.
No, that would be terrible. Like that Amy Ellen on the Dead Files, she's what she describes, a physical medium where she can feel their pain is when they, you know, died a real horrible death with a lot of pain. And then she said she said there are mental mediums too that can do it without taking on a spirit's pain or something. And you'd think that'd be the better way to go, and she said physical mediums have a shorter lifespan than regular people. I would suppose being bombarded with all that.
With all the pain sensations.
Yeah.
That has an effect on your adrenal system.
Yeah. And like that.
On your fight or flight response.
And like that Ghost Adventure show, too, you wonder how, being frightened by spirits that just pop up on you and stuff affects your system in the long term.
Yeah.
The one guy, he's got a museum out in, Zach Baggins, he's kind of the leader of that group. He has a haunted museum in Las Vegas that I want to go to.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, he's got a whole bunch of stuff from Dr. Jack Kevorkian's office, the guy who, and he's got the van where he did some of the euthanize some patients, and he also bought some of the props from the original Ghostbusters movie, the backpack. The backpacks.
I remember that movie.
He paid over 300 some thousand for those backpacks, that he used. And
that's crazy.
And he's got a bunch of dolls that are haunted. Spirits like to inhabit dolls because they're empty vessels and whatever. And
you can keep those dolls, by the way.
And
with the 10-foot pole, I'll stay away from them things.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard of these things called a Dybbuk box, but some of them are fake, but some of them are real or whatever. They're supposed to contain a spirit of somebody, and if you open it, you let loose
the spirit.
Yeah, and one guy, this paranormal, caught on camera. He had one, and he would hold an EMF meter right near the box, and it would go off.
Wow.
And that EMF, electromagnetic fluctuation or whatever, if it was giving off energy, it was. And it was covered in wax, kind of like the liquor maker's mark, it's got that little drippy stuff. You got to break the seal on it. So it's covered in wax. and once he broke the seal and opened it, a few seconds later, stuff started moving in his room, and he he quickly got out of there.
I think I would have too.
Yeah.
I probably would have been heading to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Having to clean out my pants.
The box had, I forget what they call it. It wasn't a crystal or anything, but it was something significant.
Pandora's box?
I'm not even sure what they called it, but...
And I just know the Pandora's box is opening the unknown, so...
I do know somebody who uses dowsing rods to communicate, or he says he's communicating with dead relatives and stuff. You know, you got to construct them in a certain way, and you hold them, and they kind of work like a divining rod, I guess, where you hold them, and you say the name of the person you want to talk to, and then you give them a series of test questions. You know, you test out. Do you know who this is? And can you cross the rods or whatever? And you hold the rods completely still. And if they move, then you got something going there. And you say, well, my name's Randy. So, and I want to talk to my mother. And I would say, is my name Mark? And nothing would happen, and then say, is my name Tom? And then nothing, and is my name Randy? And if I would ask, and then the rods would cross, and then you figure you'd have the right person. And he says, well, all you can do is ask it yes or no questions. So I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is, and I asked how he thought those things work, but he didn't really have a good. Who knows how they work? I guess I've seen him use them, but
yeah,
it'd be kind of cool to know that they were actually a real thing.
I know they use them to go and locate water, but
yeah, I'm trying to find a sound effect for all this paranormal talk we've. I had maybe this will.
Ooh.
That's not really a thing for paranormal. I have used that a lot in my podcast, but this one wouldn't be either. But here in the Central Daylight Time, we have about. A little under 4 hours for you ring in the new year. Maybe I should break out my bottle of Smirnoff right now and take a shot. But I'd probably just fall asleep on there and leave my equipment running and it'd record for I don't know how long. Yeah, when and Ghost Adventures... the spirits do not like it when people start remodeling these really old structures. They get really angry.
Yeah.
And on the dead files, that they always claim that they see shadow figures and they've been scratched and sometimes they've been scratched in like three separate lines, and that supposedly. Is a mocking of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whatever. And stuff like that. And
yeah.
One time, Ghost Adventures, they were in a building. I don't know if it was a mental facility or it wasn't a prison or maybe it was for place for tuberculosis patients, but some... unusual ceremonies have been held there, but there was an upside-down pentagram, which is supposed to be the most unholy symbol. I don't know why it developed to be that, but that's what they I don't know. And they held up some of their devices that they could speak out of, and they got some really weird responses right out of that when they held it up to that pentagram.
Wow.
I think you'd be it'd be interesting to work a Ouija board with you. Well, I guess I'm pronouncing that board. So, in one movie, Ouija board. It's
Ouija board.
Yeah. But those.
Yeah. That would be kind of interesting.
What do they call that? The planchette or something like that you put your fingers on really lightly, and if something's there, it starts moving on its own. And
yeah, it's like a triangular. Shaped wooden piece that you lightly put your fingers on and it'll move on its own.
Yeah. And you got the alphabet.
Have you ever used a Ouija board before?
Me? No. No.
Yeah. No?
You have?
I have.
Oh. There's another story.
Another one. I'm full of them tonight.
Yeah. Did you get it to work?
Yeah, we did, actually. It was kind of interesting. Ask it questions and it'll spell out either yes or no. There's like a spot on the board for yes or no. And then if it's not a yes or no answered question, then it'll spell out the words. And then, yeah, it's kind of freaky.
I'd be too worried about getting an attachment, which is something that would follow me home and cause you. Because a lot of these people that call up the Dead Files investigators say that they're having health problems because of the spirits, and they think it's because of the spirits causing them problems. And did you think you were talking with somebody good or evil on the Ouija board?
Yeah, let's see. This was back in high school, so it was a thing of a
long time.
Yeah, we kind of got together and tried using the spirit board, and it was kind of interesting to see the. I mean, as high schoolers, you're kind of asking kind of silly questions, you know, like, does so and so like me, or.
Oh, okay.
Those kind of things, you know. So it's kind of, you don't know if somebody's actually using force when the piece is being moved around, or if it's really moving up. Everybody has to be touching it just the same, having the same tension on it. So
I used to watch the show Charmed, you know, with Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
Yes. And they would always accuse the character Phoebe, which is Alyssa Milano's character, that she would always she would always push the pointer, and in the first episode they claimed that, and she said, "Oh, I didn't push it; it moved on its own," you know. And that's when they found the Book of Shadows, and then they became the three, the power of three witches, you know.
Yeah.
Man, you have a lot of ghostly experiences I never had, so I must be kind of dead to it. The guy that follows that medium around in the house, he says he doesn't really sense it. He must be cut off from it because he doesn't feel much or anything. But he goes through the house or whatever and takes down any pictures or artifacts, religious symbols, so it doesn't affect her findings at all. And
right.
And at the end of it, they have like a sketch artist do a sketch of what's the worst thing she's found in that house or whatever. And then they tell the family or whatever what they found in the house and whether they can bring somebody in to live there safely after that, like have an exorcism. Or I heard her mention a voodoo priest. chaos magician. What are some of the other things that she's mediums, of course, and a whole bunch of other things that voodoo, mm-hmm. voodoo priests, and she's got a whole list of people that you bring in and clear out the spirits.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to be careful with the Ouija boards because yeah. they can attach to the sitters that are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen it happen. I just know that it can happen. But Satan likes to, and his demons can go and use it for their own enjoyment also. So.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably best we don't. Well, maybe you're a sensitive. That's what Amy calls people that are, can sense people, dead people.
Right. Yeah, I guess he's a dead person, huh?
And then some of them that they, she claims, well, this living person has can make objects move because of their mood or whatever. In the house, psychokinetic energy or whatever, psychokinesis, or I don't know what, but that's pretty freaky too to know that, oh, you can make objects move just because of your mood. If you're angry or whatever, something might go flying in the mm-hmm. kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
But hey, Lisa, it's been great talking with you on this, New Year's Eve show. I suppose we should both get back to our drinking and. But,
yeah, we gotta have our final toast though before the night is over.
Well, here I'll get my Smirnoff.
Bring in the new year.
Let me get my bottle of Smirnoff.
I'll grab mine.
You can keep talking and keep the crowd entertained.
As you try to find that Smirnoff up in your cabinet, hidden. Oh, hey, did you know that there's some actual rules you need to use before you use a Ouija board? And let's see here. Spirits can trick you while you're talking with a Ouija board.
What? Well, I'll have to listen to that.
They do.
I'll have to listen to that to see what... to hear what you said, but I do have my bottle of Smirnoff here. No kidding. Might as well blow the dust off it. Let's see if I can get any pouring noise. There we go. And take my shot.
All right.
Let's ring out 2020, the horrible year.
I agree.
And tilt them back.
You ready?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Goodbye, 2020.
Yeah.
Hello, 2021.
Yeah, goodbye, 2020. I think that deserves another. I don't know. I like Mountain Dew, unfortunately. I don't know if vodka and Mountain Dew would make a good mix. But...
yeah, they do. I like vodka and pink lemonade.
Oh.
It's my favorite.
But I did actually take a shot of it, and it's still burning. This might be my longest podcast in a while, but once I get it edited, we'll probably be down to 30 minutes, which is usually about 30 minute shows. No, this one's going to be a little longer with your stories on the paranormal, but.
It'll be interesting what kind of reviews you get from it.
Yeah. We'll see who picks it up. I know I got listeners in a lot of different countries. So, England and Spain have been some pretty regular downloaders. So In Spain, Madrid and Barcelona now has been downloaders, and somebody pretty regularly downloads from Podomatic anyway, from the Westminster area of London. I would like to talk. I would like to talk to that person and see what, see if they're a fellow podcaster and stuff. So
yeah, that would be neat.
Well, why don't I say now? I think it is time to warp drive this podcast to the interwebs. You can check out my Facebook page. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. You can email me a comment at randyms12@gmail.com. Question or concern about this show? Tell me you like it, dislike it, hate it, whatever. But if it is good, and say an under 10-minute read, I might read it over the air. But as always, have a pleasant day today and a happy ending tonight.